All right, welcome aboard. It's a Monday. It's a Dennis Stuckey show. We have shows this week today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And then, weather permitting, we'll have high school sports for you Thursday and Friday. But we've got the full 2 hours today. Bobby McKillop is on the line to kick things off. Killer, I don't want to spoil it for people who didn't see it, but I saw Avengers Endgame over the weekend, and it is awesome.
I heard it's really good. Yeah, that's one of those ones where, you know, I've been reading all the stuff about it, and they're talking about that. You know, you're gonna be surprised. So, am I gonna be surprised?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. I don't think you're as geeky into it as I am. Like, I've seen all the movies hundreds of times, and I know everything, and I read the comic books growing up and all that kind of stuff, so I'm really into it, and I'm just saying that it's the best one they've ever done.
Oh, I can't wait then. I'm excited. I love it. Good for you. All right, I'm excited. All right, I have something to look forward to. So, I mean, you know, with this weather that's going on here, I was in Chicago over the weekend. It snowed 4 inches and then 8 inches.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
And then, you know, back here, we need a, unless you're a duck, this is great weather.
Well, you know, I did 4 games last week. We had 4 days in a row of games. And I remember the one day I did the game with no coat on. And the next day I did the game with my winter jacket on. 24 hours.
Ah, yeah, isn't that fun? Don't you love that?
Man, it's like, come on now. Just pick one, okay? Either one. If you want to be cold for a little while longer, I'll live with it. Just be cold so that I know what I'm dealing with. I can mentally prepare myself. And just don't go back and forth. Back and forth is when I get sick.
Yeah, that's true, right? I mean, you don't want to go from 60 to 40. That's not going to help.
All right, let's go with this. Here's some Stuckey stats, because I know you love Stuckey stats.
Love them.
In the last 17 seasons, the Carolina Hurricanes have made the playoffs 4 times. 4 times in 17 seasons, Bobby McKillop. They have played 12 playoff series. Do you know how many they've won? They've won 10.
Boy,
they've won 10 of 12 playoff series in the 4 times that they've made the playoffs in the last 17 years. They've never done worse than a conference finals, and they've won a cup. And they're up 2 games to nothing on the Islanders right now after eliminating the Stanley Cup champs.
Isn't that amazing? That's a great stat. That's an amazing stat. And, you know, that game yesterday, I mean, you know, the man upstairs is on their side. Those posts they hit in the last 5 minutes. So, I mean, those were dead on the middle of the post. Any one of those crossbars or posts goes the other way, obviously it's a different story. And then obviously going down and McElhinney coming in and doing what he's doing. I mean, you know, I mean, listen, you know, Rob Brad-Moore's first year, they got some young talent, Aho, obviously Justin Williams, Mr. Game 7, Stahl. They got one of the best defensemen in the league in Falk, and then you know they got you know Teravainen, and they got some guys that can move. Listen, it's fun to watch them play because they play at a different pace. They don't play that. They play a puck possession game. They're fun to watch. They're good defensemen in their own zone. They're getting good goaltending. That makes them dangerous. Am I surprised? Absolutely, I'm surprised. I didn't think they'd make it out of the first round.
You know, what do you think of a Eastern Conference final that could be Columbus versus Carolina?
I think if you would have asked me that 5 months ago and said you and I put $50 each on these two teams making it to a conference final, we probably would have won a couple bucks. Because I don't think I if there's somebody out there that's saying they saw this coming, I mean, the Islanders was even a long shot 2 months ago for them to make it to the conference final. You know, for all four number one seeds to be out, I can't remember the last time that's ever happened.
Yeah, really, in all honesty, in the East, Boston is the only team that you would have said had any chance of being one of these four remaining teams on that side of it. And in the West, I'm really not even sure what to make of everything. Because St. Louis really didn't start playing well till the second half of the year. Dallas, I never considered a serious threat for anything. They're playing really well. You know, San Jose has the veteran presence to their lineup, and Colorado has that youthful, I don't know any better.
And San Jose shouldn't even be there. I mean, they're lucky still to be there, and they are a team that, you know, probably now, if you want to look at it, the team, in my opinion, that has the best chance to win the Cup is San Jose. In my opinion, they have the best roster from top to bottom. Their goaltending with Jones is a little bit suspect. But, you know, Boston's the highest ranked, and I'll say that lightly, ranked team left. But listen, there's some good teams. These teams are playing good. Columbus is playing good hockey. Obviously, Carolina's playing good hockey. You know, St. Louis making a coaching change, Craig Berube coming in halfway through the year, Mike Yeo leaving there. I mean, did I ever see this happening? No, their goaltender playing the way he is as a young guy. Did I see that happening? No. To be honest with you, this is the most upside-down NHL playoffs that I can remember in years. In years. And now we're going to have a bad conversation. But, listen, the National Hockey League does not want to see Dallas and Carolina in the Cup final.
Oh, I know.
I mean.
But they've created this monster.
Gary Bettman, the National Hockey League's created it for sure. But I mean, NBC pays a lot of money to have the premier players play for the ultimate prize. Well, last year was kind of an iffy one with Vegas walking all the way to the dance. Well, I mean, potentially this year. I mean, what scenario would be the best scenario for the league at this point? Boston, for sure. The New York Islanders, for sure. Either one of those two teams because of their marketability. And in the West, I mean, who is it? Is it San Jose? Because, I mean, maybe McKinnon in Colorado? I don't know. But, I mean, for the league itself, all the best players are at home.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have an Ovechkin now. You don't have a Crosby. You know, there's nothing really to hang your hat on because, as you mentioned, of the guys who are left, and I'm probably not thinking of somebody, but really, McKinnon is probably the biggest name still playing in the playoffs, unless you want to count Joe Thornton, who's at the end of his career.
Well, you got to take a look at Burns. You got to take a look at Carlson, Vezina Trophy winners, obviously on the same team, Pavelski on the same team. But are they Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin, Austin Matthews?
Yeah, they don't grab the headlines like that. Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn are great players, but they don't grab the headlines like those other names do.
Well, it's because they're not playing in that market, right? You put either one of those two guys in a hockey market and look out. And then, obviously, listen, Nathan McKinnon's one of the best players in the league from out in Colorado. With them not making much noise the last 6 or 7 years, now he kind of becomes one of those, you know, yeah, we kind of know about him. But, listen, the marquee players for the National Hockey League, the National Hockey League lives off of what's happening now. They live off the playoffs. This is how they grab fans. This is how they grab exposure. And Vegas, kind of because they were an expansion team, and they had the players they had. They had Fleury in that. They had James Neal. You know, they had guys that you could kind of gravitate to that you kind of were familiar with. That's one of those things that, you know, the league right now, I mean, Gary Bettman's got, I mean, as much as he wants to talk about parity, I mean, how many, in your opinion, and I'm only asking, in your opinion, how many hockey people in the Detroit area are watching the NHL playoffs right now?
Well,
I mean, who are they watching?
Yeah, probably not as many as you would normally get.
Right.
Right. If you're a diehard Red Wing fan, you're watching the Sharks and hoping that they get to the finals so that you get a second round pick for Nyquist instead of a third round pick. But
right.
I mean, right. how many people are watching for that?
Right. 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 I mean, and he's not playing bad. I mean, he's kind of he's kind of doing his thing out there a little bit. But again, he's got so many good players around him. But yeah, I mean, this the playoff season this year has been unbelievable. And the National Hockey League did something I never ever thought I'd see them do ever. Never, ever, ever. It's for whatever reason, the National Hockey League just kind of steers away from what they did. That call on Eakins that ended up costing Vegas the chance to move on, gave San Jose 4 goals in the power play. Vegas comes back and ties it up, and then they end up losing in overtime. For the NHL to walk that back, for them to say, hey, we made a mistake, I don't like that. I don't like that. It's the one sport that's never done it, and we just did it.
Yeah, and it's for something, you know, the time, if you're going to go back on something, Killer, the time to do it was when Dallas beat Buffalo in the finals on that Brett Hull goal that shouldn't have been a goal. That's the time that you apologize to people. Not now. Not for that.
And people don't realize the way that call was called. It was called religiously. If you ever put a foot in the paint that year, if you ever had your foot in the paint, it was not even a question. It was no goal. It was goaltender interference. It was play called dead. You could not go in the paint at all. And I watched that replay as it happened 4 or 5 times. They didn't even review it. It wasn't even reviewed. It was, you know, Brett Hull jumping around up and down. Do I get it's Game 7? Do I get it's overtime? Do I get it's hard to walk that back? But guess what? If you're going to play by the rules, you have to walk that back. They never said a word. That's the only time I ever thought I'd hear, yeah, you know what, maybe in hindsight, but we're going to stand by our call. They're not even standing by their call on this. They're like, hey, we blew it.
Is that the way it's going to be now in sports? I mean, is that what we've come to? Because, I mean, we've added replay now in all the sports, and we're looking to try and not make mistakes, to take the human error part of it out of the game, at least in terms of officiating. And so now if they get something wrong, and not just the NHL, but all the sports, are they going to start apologizing to us for getting stuff wrong? And how is that going to help the game?
Well, I saw HBO Sports a little while back, and there was something really interesting that I thought, if this ever happens, I mean, what are we going to do in sports? I don't know whether you're familiar with this, but there's technology out there right now, and they're using it at the lower college level, and now they want to try and use it at the lower minor league level, where they have automatic balls and strikes computerized.
So, yeah, I have seen this.
Okay, so they have a strike zone. So, if the ball goes in that strike zone, they don't need an umpire. The strike shows up on the scoreboard, ball or strike. Are you kidding me?
Well,
we're taking that element into play. So now, theoretically, and I'm only saying theoretically, I could lob a ball in. If we're going to use that, I could lob a ball in coming down at whatever angle I wanted to, and it's going to get in that strike zone. But in the real world, that's not a strike. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's going to come in at an angle that an umpire would never call that a strike. But it's actually going to go through the infrared zone of a strike zone. So it's a strike because it's going to be coming in from his head. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the thing that I saw was they're going to try to fool the fans, though. The computer's calling the balls and strikes, and there's an umpire behind the plate, but he's just there to relay the information. So the computer calls the computer calls the strike. The guy talks into a headpiece saying ball or strike, and then the umpire behind the plate gets that in his ear and says ball or strike.
I mean, come on. We may as well have why don't we just have Leslie Nielsen behind the plate?
Well, I want to be a home plate umpire because I don't have to do anything. Because I mean seriously, how often is there a play at the plate? Once a week?
Not very.
Once a week? And
yeah, not very.
And I don't even have to get it right because they'll replay it.
Right.
It's free money to be a home plate umpire.
Listen, you know, the Saints doing what they did after terrible missed call in the NFL playoffs cost them their season for sure. The National Football League walking that back. Now they've implemented, hey, that's a reviewable play in the last 2 minutes. I mean, what are we really doing? Like, what are we? Listen, I'm not a big fan of the offside, you know, the play going on for 45 seconds, and oops, let's review whether so-and-so had his skate played up or off the ice as he's onside. He's onside. His body's onside. But if his skate blade is off the ice by a millimeter, he's now offside because video replay says he is, but he's onside. Physically, his body is not over the blue line. His skate leg has just come up. His leg is clearly behind the blue line, and now we're calling that offside? I mean, what are we doing?
With all the reviews and all of that of goals, the delayed celebration kills me. Kills me. So you're game seven of the Stanley Cup Finals, and a goal gets scored, and you've got to wait 3-4 minutes to celebrate if it counts? Because they've got to look at it and tell you if it counts.
So my favorite moment, right, one of them, is obviously a game seven Stanley Cup winning goal. Right? We can remember, obviously, the big ones. Bobby Orr, St. Louis, 70s. You want to remember
Tinelli to Bob Nystrom against the Flyers to win the cup in overtime. That one today wouldn't count.
Today wouldn't count.
It wouldn't count. They would have reviewed it and called it offside.
Okay, well, Patrick Kane against Philly won the cup. The puck was shot on such an interesting angle that it actually went underneath the padding. On the other side of the net, it went in, went underneath the padding. Patrick Kane was the only guy that knew it went in. He was going all the way down the ice going, woo! And everybody's like, where's the puck? Where's the puck? Where's the puck? And that was the most delayed celebration. They actually had to go video review it, and it only took them 20 seconds to review it because they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, the puck went in, whatever. Okay. You and I are having another discussion. Now we're actually having discussions where there's four guys in Toronto looking at it. There's four referees or two referees looking at it live, and I'm watching. They're taking 6 and 7 and 8 minutes on some of this stuff now. Like, what? I don't think that's what we really intended this to be, did we?
No, I don't think so either.
I think in my interpretation, if we're going to talk about replay, here's where replay is really effective for me, okay? For me. End zone, did the ball cross the plane of the end zone? Did the ball cross the plane for a first down in football? Did the puck actually cross the line in hockey? Did it hit the back bar? Did it hit the crossbar? Was he really out at first? Was he really out at second? I think after that, what are we doing? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why do we have to go to the length that we're going? Was this really a fumble? Was his knee on the ground? Was the ball moving when he caught? Listen, if you look at it, like that play with Megatron years ago, I think it was in Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, that for that not to be a touchdown, us have to review that for 8 minutes. Again, everybody in the world knew he caught that ball. I mean, what is the catch? What do we do? So the ball is slightly moving as I'm going to the ground at, you know, 40 miles an hour. I mean, what are we doing? Where's sports going? Where are we going?
Those are good questions. And yet they still make millions and billions and billions of dollars, even though every year it seems like they're changing the rules when the rules were fine for 100 years.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about the human element. Yes, do the Tigers get was it Garcia? Does he get a perfect game? Yeah, absolutely. I agree with replay in that instance. I agree with it. That's not what we're talking about. I think we're now taking just that slight human element that we can still have. When you start taking that, basically all we're doing is, listen, we got officials on there to, hey, mark the ball in the right spot and basically call some, I mean, are we going to start looking at illegal hands to the face? Are we going to start looking at holding in the offensive line in football? I mean, you could call a penalty on every single play in football.
Oh, yeah, you could call holding on every down.
Every single down in football you could call. I mean, where do we draw the line? How do you walk it back? Once you start going here, how do you walk this back? I just don't. It's one of those things. And for the National Hockey League, the last of the Mohicans, as I like to call them, because they're the ones that are kind of, you know, at least trying to keep the game to its core. For them to walk back, in my opinion, listen, You put your stick on a guy the way Eakins put his stick on him off of faceoff. Whatever happens after that, you have to be held accountable. I don't care if he slipped. He doesn't slip. He doesn't trip. He doesn't do whatever. If you weren't sticking a full-on cross check up in his chops, it doesn't happen. You had four referees on the ice going, man, he fully extended on him there. I mean, what are we doing? The National Hockey League is really going to walk that back? It doesn't sit well with me. It just doesn't. No.
I guess it would be worse if they said do-over, like in the backyard. No, it's do-over. We pick up the game where we were. We take the call away. We take all the goals away, and we start back where we were from that point.
Okay, but why can't me as the National Hockey League, why can't I say this? We are going to debate whether it's a penalty or not. Penalties are not reviewable in the National Hockey League. However, I will make this statement as the commissioner in the National Hockey League or as the rules officiant of the National Hockey League, be in control of your stick. End of story. Be in control of your stick. If Eakins doesn't fully extend himself, put Puzelski in a position to get hurt, which he did, was it a five-minute major? Absolutely not. But, again, that's not a reviewable call. That's not a reviewable call in that instance. It's just not. Now, hit to the head. Okay, it's just not a reviewable call. So I just don't like it. He needs to be in control of the stick. End of story.
All right, good stuff. I got to let you go, Killer, but thanks a lot.
All right, Stuck. Good to talk to you.
All right, we'll see you. All right, there's Bobby McKillop helping us out on the program today. We're just getting started. We're here until 7 o'clock, and we will take a break, and we will be back with more in just a moment here on the Dennis Stuckey Show on WPHM.